y'all. It is so good to be here this year. I love the women's retreat. I love coming. I've been a North Waker since 2010. So been coming to the women's retreat, not every single year. Some of you have come every single year and I love it. But the years that I come, I am always drawn to a more deeper and richer relationship with the Lord and a more deeper love for you all, my sisters in Christ, my friends. And so it is good to be here this weekend. So glad to be here. And I want to say, and I know there's been a lot of thank yous, but I have to do a shout out to the women's ministry team because they spend hours and days and weeks planning for this event year after year after year for us to come. And not all churches and women's ministries have this. My sister comes with me. She's been coming for 3 years and she doesn't get this. She gets a lot of amazing and wonderful things. She doesn't get this. And so I want to just say thank you to the women's ministry team for the time and the care. So this evening, our focus is on learning to calm and quiet our soul amidst things like unwanted thoughts, intrusive thoughts, self-examination, self-condemnation, and regrets. So we're going to have a good time. It's going to be fun. And I must admit that when Mindy asked me to give this particular talk this weekend, my hot mess of myself figured that she must see right through me. She must know that I'm incredibly prone to overthinking and self-condemnation. And I actually overthought that she asked me to give this talk. Overthought it. I've been overthinking it this week too. Why did I do that? Because overthinking is my default, and it has been as long as I can remember. So if you are ever with me, and you hear me say, what do I say? Not helpful. That's what I was saying it today. Me and Nikki were shopping, and I was like, not helpful. And it wasn't because anything she did. It's not anything that you do. It's because, hi, I'm the problem. It's me. My thoughts just went to the dark side of thinking wrong about myself, thinking wrong about God, thinking wrong about a situation. So I want to take a minute, though, and I want to recap. I think it's good when we've been here for about 24 hours to think back over what we have covered since last night. So Mindy started us off by teaching us, first of all, what mindfulness is, that it's being aware of the present moment, and that Christian meditation targets the heart. It's full of conversation with God, His word to us in Scripture, and our pouring out our hearts to Him. I love this quote that Mindy said last night. She said, we can learn to have a thought or emotion without having that thought or emotion dominate us. And then Mary Catherine this morning taught us from Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 23. She demonstrated how we can move from the knowledge of Scripture to the grasping of Scripture to the life-altering pondering of Scripture so that we may sink deeply in His Word. Love that. And Jet has so beautifully guided us through meditation practices after our sessions together, and she's going to do the same thing again this evening. So, and the worship team, we have sung songs. Sung? That's the right word. We have sung songs that are directly related to what we're meditating and pondering on this weekend. So it's so beautifully come together. So, thinking about all of that, recapping what we've been doing over the last 24 hours, how do you deal with yourself when regrets or intrusive thoughts consume you? How do you deal with yourself? We have learned that Christian meditation is content-filled, it's relationship-rich, and so we are not trying to escape, we are not trying to empty our minds or forget the problems of life. It is relational, it is rich, it is when our roots go deep, it is marinating, it is not passive, it is an active pursuit of the Lord. And by God's grace, Christian meditation helps us move from head knowledge to heart and soul deep, to trust the Lord on a deeper level. And the goal is not simply changing our self-talk and replacing lies with truth. That is good, but it leaves the relationship with God out of the picture. Esther Smith, in her book, A Still and Quiet Mind, she sums it up this way. Changing untrue, unwanted, and unbiblical thoughts requires truth and relationship. For real change to occur in our minds, we have to engage with God through prayer. So I'm very close with a widow, and she's been grieving over losing her spouse after several very hard years of caretaking for him. She was his only caretaker. And in her first few months of grief, she became stuck on a few memories where she just did not feel that she had cared well for him. Because, y'all, she's exhausted. She was exhausted in all the ways. And she got stuck in this grieving process of only thinking about these few negative times where she wished she thought of things like, you know, he loved fruit. He loved fruit. Why didn't I cut him up fruit every night? Why did I not do that? I could have done that for him. And she just kind of got stuck in that. The other thing towards the end of his life, his mind was gone. It was really gone. And he kept asking her to lay beside him. He just wanted her to lay down beside him. And those days were hard. She couldn't do it. She could only be his caretaker. It was hard for her to do anything but care for him. Closeness and intimacy were not a desire during those hard caretaking days. And so in her first few months of grief, those regrets became debilitating. They took over and she could not think well. She could not remember the ways that she had cared well for him, even though we had all seen it. She could not remember the 40 plus years of love that they had shared. She was stuck. And she said that there were days of depression, grief, and regret when all she could muster in her prayers was just, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. So let's consider an unhealthy biblical example of regret that went to the dark side. The story of Jacob and his brother Esau. This one has a happy ending, so I'm glad about that. Genesis 27. Esau, he made an impulsive decision. He sold his birthright to his brother, Jacob. He was later tricked by Jacob. He did not receive the blessing from his father, Isaac, for being the firstborn son, because he got tricked. And it says in Genesis that Esau began to comfort himself with thoughts of killing his brother. Okay, he was meditating. He was meditating on killing his brother. That's what comforted. It literally says he comforted himself with thoughts of killing his brother. Wow. Wow. He is meditating. He's calming his soul on this. Because hurting people without healing will often hurt others. It happens to us. And of course, Esau and Jacob. I mean, Jacob's mom told him, you better get out of town, right? Get out of here. Your brother's comforting himself by thoughts of killing you. So he left, but later they reconciled. So praise God for that. But don't we do the same? I mean, I hope we don't comfort ourselves on murder, but maybe we have a regret, something we never thought we could would think, say, or do. We were walking happily with the Lord, and we thought we were a good Christian, for heaven's sake. We spiral. We try to make sense of it. Maybe our sin and regret left us hurting. Maybe someone hurt us, and we begin ruminating. We begin thinking about revenge. Maybe we just want to say something that hurts that person, right? Or we blame ourselves, and we turn inward. We completely just turn inward and blame ourselves. How do we deal with ourselves when regrets consume us? I want us to explore healthy and healing ways to handle regret and unwanted thoughts. We want to think through practical applications for how Christian meditation is useful for freedom and victory in these hard places. And God's word always sets our feet on solid ground, and so I'm so thankful for Kendra for coming and reading Psalm 77 over us. This is a lament psalm. It is an honest cry before the Lord. It is asking for help. He knows all about us, even before we go to him. with our honest questions, our wonderings, and yet it is important that we go to Him. And there are some key words, a phrase and some key words that I want us to remember and think about and acknowledge from Psalm 77. And that is cry out to God, remembering, meditating, and pondering. Because we all struggle in some way with regret, overthinking, self-examination, unwanted, and even unbiblical thoughts. Our mental chatter, it can sometimes look like this. Why did I say that? Why did I say it that way? Why didn't I go in that direction with my career? Why did I choose to date that guy? Why didn't I listen to my mother? But why did I listen to my mother? Why didn't I listen to my mentor? I wish I was like that mom. Like, she's so patient with her children. Maybe if I was like that or I didn't act like that, my kids would act better. Why did I leave that job? Why did I say those things about her? How could my words be so unmerciful? What was I thinking? We ruminate on conversations. We rehash every word, how we said it, what we could have said differently. And just like the psalmist says in the first few verses of the psalm, unwanted thoughts and regrets, they lead to sleepless nights. They captivate our thoughts during the daytime hours. We replay scenarios, conversations, regrets about the past. We try to make sense of things. We rehearse what we would do or say differently. We have discontented thoughts. We sometimes might have fantasized about a different life, a different career, a different spouse. The mental game is so powerful. Doubts and questions creep in, and when we cannot sleep at night, we are often like the psalmist says. He describes it this way: we wonder where the Lord's steadfast love has gone, or if perhaps He isn't as gracious as we once thought. Maybe there was a time in your life where you hurt others and your regrets become like old records, just replaying, and you just cannot seem to break the cycle. Or maybe you have a close friend and you're just walking through this with her and you want to do it well. You want to help her battle well and provide wise counsel. And I do want to make an important note here that when we pursue the Lord in these matters, if intrusive thoughts interfere with activities of daily living or just one's ability to live or thrive within them, it is important and it is wise to seek therapy, talk with your doctor, and it's potentially even medication can be helpful and appropriate in these situations. So I'm going to make sure to make that note here. Sometimes our regrets lead us to agonize over how we could have made that choice. You never thought you were that person. You never thought you were capable of that sin. You're a churchgoer for the love of God, and you blew it. Because sin will indeed trap us and lead us to places we never thought we could go. Has your lust for approval or attention ever caused you to do something that you deeply regret? So let's consider David's sin of adultery and murder and his subsequent repentance, regret and repentance. So we all need a Nathan, don't we? David had a Nathan. We need a Nathan. Nathan was David's closest friend. He was his confidant. He knew David. He came to David with a heart of love and wisdom. And Nathan could give loving rebuke to David because he knew him and they could be vulnerable with one another. This is a plug for community. They could be vulnerable with one another. So he told David a story to help him see his sin. David's eyes were open, and it wrecked him. He was full of regret, which led him to cry out to God in repentance. And now we have Psalm 51 as a beautiful template for us when God's kindness leads us to repentance and we are filled with regret over our sin. And I would also point you to Larry Trotter did a beautiful sermon on repentance back on January 14th. It is a wonderful resource if you want to spend more time just thinking through repentance, hearing wise words about that. He gave a great sermon back in January 14th. so good for all of us. So the truth is that our regrets can wreck us. But by God's grace, we do not have to stay there. We do not have to stay there. Regret can lead us to repentance, which is healing. In fact, it is the Lord's kindness that leads us to repentance. But when regrets or unwanted thoughts go south, and it becomes a downward spiral into the darkness of debilitating shame, you become frozen. It's like quicksand. You literally cannot move forward. You are stuck. You are paralyzed. It is dark. When we spiral into shame and self-condemnation, rumination, all of these things, this is not helpful, and it keeps us in a prison of sorts. This is not from the Lord. Hear me say that. This is not from the Lord. And maybe you have even repented, you've experienced freedom, but you still dwell on it at times. You still go back to that same rut. It continues to take up headspace. This too is not from the Lord. It is captivity. It is bondage. The good news is that Jesus came to set the captives free, right? That part of your journey that has caused so much regret and unwanted thoughts does not have to define or control the rest of your life. And it makes me think of this song by Andrew Peterson that I love. It's called Be Kind to Yourself. And listen to a few of the lyrics. It says, I know it's hard to hear it when the anger in your spirit is pointed like an arrow at your chest, when the voices in your mind are anything but kind, and you can't believe your father knows best. I love you just the way that you are. I love the way he's shaping your heart. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. How does it end when the war that you're in is just you against you against you? You've got to learn to love. Learn to love. Learn to love your enemies too. Because we are sometimes our own worst enemies. Listen to the word of God for us. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So let's think again. What are the words again from Psalm 77 that we want to take notice of? Cry out to God, Cry out to God, remember, ponder, meditate. So, did you know that our brains have an ingrained negativity bias? Research has actually shown that we have a tendency to pay more attention to negative events and messages than to positive ones. We hold on to lessons that we have learned from insults, betrayals, slights, and abuse, and we forget the positive messages that we have also received. Our thoughts and decisions and actions can become skewed in light of the negative things that we fixate on. A psychologist once said, the unaided mind tends toward chaos. The unaided mind tends toward chaos. Because all of us are making a mental home somewhere. Is it in Jesus and the words of Jesus? Our minds will naturally leap to the future, or they go to the past, or they go to something negative, robbing us of the present moment. And for most of us, our minds naturally gravitate to hurt, fear, anger, materialism, regret, shame, guilt. Most days, our consciousness is abiding in these thoughts all day long. The ways and words we engage with during our day function as a form of meditation. So how do we aim our meditation at Jesus? So if you've been to my house, you know I live on a dirt road. If you come see me and you drive down that dirt road once, you're just going to leave some tire tracks. But for me, I drive down that road 1,000 times, right? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I leave ruts in the road because it's a dirt road. I cannot not drive in those ruts, right? I cannot not drive in those ruts. And this is a good thing or a bad thing, depending on where the road is taking me. And this is what our brains are like. It's called the science of neuroplasticity. Every time we think a thought, it's easier to think that same thought, or it's harder to not think it again. Whether it's good or bad, whether it's Jesus or shame, regret, anger. But by His grace, we can learn to aim our consciousness, our meditation at Jesus, His word, His person, His goodness, His love towards us all through the day. This is biblical meditation, and it leads to abiding or making our home with God. We begin to delight in the Lord and His word. Jackie Hill Perry, she's a Bible teacher, she says it this way: meditating on God's law day and night is a holy consequence of first delighting in it. We begin a new practice of communing with the Lord. We find it become easier, and we set a new default pattern. We have new ruts on the dirt road. We are delighting in Him. When we commune with God in this way, His Spirit transforms our thoughts, leading us down a new and better path of healing and hope. Scripture points our hearts in a new direction. It calls us to remember God's wonders, His deeds, His miracles, how He will never leave us or forsake us, to remember that all that Jesus has said and done, to remember His body and blood poured out for us, the forgiveness of our sins. So many years ago, back in our small hometown of Florida, our church had a women's event, and they invited a lady to come speak, and her name was Mary Kay Beard. And Jason and I were so excited we got to go to dinner with her. We had stars in our eyes. Do y'all know who Mary Kay Beard is? Of course not. I know. She's passed away now. So let me tell you about her. She came, she is in heaven now. She came and she just shared a really wonderful story of just God's redemption in her life. She is the founder of Angel Tree. This is a ministry. It's a prison fellowship program. It's designed to share God's love by helping to meet the needs of children of parents who are in prison. So, a little bit about Mary Kay. Mary Kay, in high school, she's very smart. She was the valedictorian of her class. She graduated. 10 years later, at the age of 27, she was on FBI's top 10 most wanted list. Okay? Things had changed drastically for her. Along with her husband, she was wanted in 4 states for a string of bank robberies. She was also the target of a mafia hit because she had crossed them in a diamond heist. She was in a bad way because she was in trouble with the good guys and she was in trouble with the bad guys. Okay? She was eventually caught. She was arrested. She was sentenced to 21 years in an Alabama prison. And it was there that the Lord radically saved her as she picked up a Bible and she read Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 27. And I'll read it for us. "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." And so with this new heart that the Lord had given to Mary Kay, she still struggled. Here she is in prison. She's a new believer, but she's still struggling to honor God while in prison. Because remember, she's very smart. She had a couple of significant unwanted thoughts and temptations. First of all, she had a very calculating mind. It's why she was successful in breaking into 4 banks and being on the top 10 FBI's most wanted list. Okay? She was really good at this. So she saw, oh, there's lack of security. I can break out of here. So she's meditating. I mean, that's just what's consuming her, because she's like, I can break out of here. This is easy. But she's struggling with those thoughts, and she's asking God for help because she wanted to honor Him. She has a new heart, right? She's desiring to honor Him, and she knew it was wrong to be meditating on breaking out of prison. So the thought came to her, tell someone, tell someone. And at first she was embarrassed. She was hesitant to talk about this temptation, but she knew there was wisdom in telling others, and she was in a prison Bible study. So she shared it with the women in the Bible study. And she learned that by talking about it, that other women were struggling to honor God while in prison too. So she shares that she learned an important lesson. Secrets have a stronghold on us, but when revealed, they lose their power. And she also learned that most of her Christian growth happened in relationships. Healing and growth happen in community. Shameless plug for grow groups at Northwind. Healing and growth happen in community. So another battle that she fought as a new believer was anger, bitterness, and resentment. This was not a new battle. She had always struggled with these things. But here she is, a new believer, struggling with this anger, bitterness, and resentment. She was easily offended. She had a sharp tongue and a rebellious attitude, and they were causing her trouble even a year after becoming a believer in prison. She knew it was a habit that had been with her for many years, and it would be hard to overcome. So she prayed, and she asked others to pray for her, because the mental battle is the hardest, right? Unwanted thoughts are pesky. And as Mary Kay was wrestling through this and meditating on scripture in prison, she reasoned that she could not do two opposite things at the same time. She could not sit down and stand up at the same time. So she began considering what the opposite of anger is, and it came to her that it was praise. So she decided she could not be angry and sing praise hymns at the same time, and so that's what she did. Every time those old thought patterns came and those unwanted thoughts surfaced, she just started singing old hymns out loud. In the prison, down the hallways, in her cell, out loud singing praise hymns. She shared that for a while it seemed that she was singing praise hymns all the time, right there in the prison hallways. I love that. She was literally singing praise hymns out loud in prison. Like, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, I won't sing for y'all, because I cannot. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And then one day a friend asked her, are you okay? And she was like, she'd been doing this for a long time, and she was like, well, why? And she said, you don't sing as much anymore. And Mary Kay was like, praise God, it's working. It's working. She was not struggling as much. She was having victory. So the enemy would have loved Mary Kay Beard to sit in that prison all those years and be overcome and paralyzed by regret and bitterness, to become a mean woman in prison. The enemy would have loved that. By the grace of God, that is not what happened to Mary Kay. That headstrong, rebellious heart was changed by God, and a beautiful ministry resulted that still carries strong to this day. Those years that she was in prison, she watched women gather soap and toothpaste and shampoo that the prison received from charity groups, and they would wrap them up, and they would give them as Christmas gifts to their children. And she vowed that she would do something for children who had an incarcerated parent when she was released. And Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree program is among her greatest legacies. It's helped more than 10 million children in over 40 years. Families have been restored, and the gospel has been proclaimed. Just like the enemy would have loved for Mary Kay Beard to sit in that prison and rot in bitterness, he loves for us to sink in pits of despair over regret and intrusive thoughts. He loves for us to get stuck. He loves to twist it into shame and condemnation. These things are not from the Lord. Satan wants us to live out of what we've done, to live according to our failures. But God wants us to live out of what he has done. God wants us to live out of what he has done. Psalm 31, verse 3 and 7 and 8 say, for you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. So I cannot say it any better than Jackie Hill Perry says it. Uncovering what hurts, hurts. Because you see, we often can manufacture a sense of peace and control. We can think that we're happy and that, you know, we just don't want to go that deep. I just don't want to go there. I don't want to do that because it's vulnerable. It is being fully human in the presence of God. It's hard, but it's the way to freedom. You are worth it to the Lord. This is why Jesus came, to set the captives free. This is our inheritance. Remember Esther's quote from a little bit ago that I shared. Changing untrue, unwanted, and unbiblical thoughts requires truth and relationship. For real change to occur in our minds, we have to engage with God through prayer. So let's talk about Legos. Full disclosure, I've never put together a set of Legos. And I have two boys. And I have one son, my middle son, Drew, loved Legos. Loved Legos. So he was always excited if that's what he got for his birthday, right? He gets a big box of Legos. He's all excited. What does he do? He goes over to wherever he goes, and he just dumps them out, right? He dumps them out, and that's how he starts the Legos project. Same with us. We do not have to have our thoughts or regrets sorted out in good order to go to the Lord, right? We can spill it out all before him like we do when we start a Legos project. Just spill it out. Pray your uncensored thoughts, the good, the bad, the wrong, the sinful, all of it, the right, even the right, the good ones too. Because freedom is found in being fully human in God's presence. We're not spilling it out to empty ourselves, but to reorient to who Jesus is and what he has done for us. God's word is full of rich nourishment for our souls. I love Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So if our thoughts and our self-talk go against what the Lord declares over us, then we need to take those thoughts captive and demolish those thoughts. We must remember Christ, who came to cover our shame so that we no longer have to hide or become paralyzed by it. We have it backwards when we remember what God has forgotten, which is our sins, and when we forget what God remembers. What does God remember? He remembers our Savior and our new life in him. So in other words, very simply, God has forgotten our sins. And it does no good for us to remember what he has forgotten. He remembers Christ our Savior, his blood poured out for us, and that we have new life in him. We forget this, but we must remember it. And when we practice Christian meditation, we are cultivating the spiritual discipline of remembering. Remembering what God remembers, forgetting what he forgets. And we have this word of God that is alive. 66 books of memories and stories about who God is and how he works. And when we read it, we see the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Through Jesus, we see the Lord's goodness, his kindness, his faithfulness. His spirit is able to speak a new thing to us. Just because we change our minds every other second does not mean that God does. He's the same. Marinate in the scriptures to remember how dearly loved you are and to grow in that love. He is the same. Like I said before, sorry, I'm saying it again. He is good. He is faithful. He is gracious. He is full of mercy. This is our amazing reality of grace. Christ died to cover 10,000 regrets. He died to cover 10 million regrets. This is the kind of Savior that we have. And meditation helps us move from reading and knowing this in our minds to believing it and knowing it in our hearts. The last few verses in Psalm 77, they come to a soft landing with the simple and beautiful reminder of God's unwavering commitment to bring blessing to Abraham's children through the imagery of us, God's people as sheep, and the Lord as our good shepherd. I'm going to read verses 19 through 20. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. That's Psalm 77, 19 through 20. And I love that imagery, like Mindy talked about last night, using our imagination, that imagery of us as the sheep and God as our good shepherd leading us. So one last story. I have a friend, and she's in graduate school, and she is getting very near to being finished. Okay, she's worked for years to get to this point. It's hard work. I've never been to graduate school. It's hard work. I've watched my husband do it. It's a lot. It's time. It's energy. It's tears. It's late nights. It's all the things. So she should be over the moon, right? She's almost done. She should be over the moon about this. She's almost there. The finish line is in sight. But she recently shared with our grow group that she has moments when her thoughts spiral from worry to discouragement and hopelessness as she thinks about what her life is going to be like after graduation. She wonders if she's going to be able to find a job in the field that she is so passionate about. Where is she going to live? Will she be able to be near to her family? And she would like to be near to her family. Is that going to, what's going to happen? The intrusive thoughts sometimes consume her, stealing her joy from the present moment, and have become worse than any other season in her life. And as the Lord would have it, while she was fighting, battling with these unwanted thoughts, she was studying Exodus chapter 16 in preparation for an assignment. And Exodus 16 is all about the people of Israel journeying through the wilderness from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. And you remember that the Israelites are a stubborn, stiff-necked people. One minute they are praising the Lord, and the next they are grumbling to Moses and Aaron, "Why did you bring us here? We have no food, we have no water." And then the Lord always provides water, and he provided quail, he provided manna, he provided for them. So by the end of the chapter 16 of Exodus, we see that God has commanded Moses to fill a jar with an omer of the manna. And why does the Lord command this? He wanted them to preserve it throughout the generations so that the people would remember how the Lord provided for them. So my friend shared that she has learned that she has to battle these invading thoughts of her future by intentionally meditating on all of the ways that the Lord has provided for her up to this point. It helps to calm her mind and her heart as she recounts his faithfulness, and it increases her faith that he is sovereign over her future. So, do you have scriptures that you believe in and are committed to when the mental game is strong? It's important to have strategies in place, have a space, have time, have a place where you can go and meditate and calm your soul. Have scripture cards. I have scripture cards. I love scripture cards. I just like to write things down. I have them. I keep them all over my house. I'm looking. Yeah, I have them. Listen, y'all, I got my letter in the mail, though. This is really cool. I just want to read one thing. This is from last year. I love when I get it in the mail because this is how I address myself. Hi, friend.
Hey, girl.
This is what I said from last year. This is last year. I said, the spiritual discipline of remembrance is biblical practices that deepen our... I don't know who said this. Somebody taught last year. Might have been Mary Catherine. This is Mary Catherine. I quoted it. This is biblical spiritual discipline of remembrance, biblical practices that deepen our communion with God while transforming our hearts and lives to reflect more of Christ. I love it. I love getting these letters. Write yourself the letter. I get tickled. I get tickled, and I really like it. I really like it. It's good. Remembrance. You've got to have strategies in place when the mental game is strong. You gotta have your scripture, whatever it is that brings you back to the Lord and reorients you to Jesus. So I'd like to encourage you to spend time in the verses that have been read over you this weekend. Maybe you take one or two and you commit to it. It can become your sacred text to reorient and meditate on. And here is what you will never regret. You will never regret the time you spend communing with God, meditating on his ways, his words, his son, and the spirit who lives in you. So let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for meeting us here tonight in this place. Thank you that we can always come to you, we can cry out to you, we can remember and ponder who you are and how you have worked in our lives in so many ways.
We ask for your grace to help us move beyond head knowledge to our hearts, truly delighting in you and growing in our understanding of how dearly loved we are by you. Allow that love to shape us and bear fruit as we share that with others. We love you in Christ's name.